As we approach the Easter season, let's be reminded that Christmas's greatest sounds were intended for a celebration of the Messiah, his life, death, and resurrection. This is the story of George Frederick Handel in today's episode of Heritage Hymns.
Welcome to the Heritage Hymns broadcast with our speaker, Daniel Cox. Join us as we travel back in time to learn of the great songwriters and the stories that they told us through music. Stay tuned at the end of this broadcast for more information. But for now, here's Pastor Cox.
What more can be said of the man who is called by Beethoven the greatest composer that ever lived? Even Mozart, who reorchestrated Messiah in 1789, confessed himself to be humble in the face of Handel's genius. He insisted that any alterations to Handel's score should not be interpreted as an effort to improve the music. Handel knows better than any of us what will make an effect. When he chooses, he strikes like a thunderbolt. George Frederick Handel was born to George and Dorothy Handel in Germany on February 23, 1685. History records that if Handel's father had had his way, the Hallelujah Chorus would have never been written. Handel's father was a surgeon, a mixture of no-nonsense, practical wisdom, who saw the value of education as a much greater thing than that of music. Handel did, however, evince extraordinary musical talent as a child. Handel's mother, however, was very supportive, encouraging him to develop his God-given ability. With her cooperation, Handel took to practicing on the sly, mastering behind his father's eyes the violin, the organ, and the harpsichord. At the age of 18, he decided to commit himself completely to music, accepting a violinist position at the Hamburg Opera's Goose Market Theater. During this time, he supplemented his income by teaching private music lessons, passing on what he had learned from his great teachers. Though working as a violinist, it was Handel's skill on the organ and harpsichord that began to earn him attention, landing him more opportunities to perform in operas. Handel also began to compose operas, making his debut early in 1705. Yet, while touring major Italian cities, Handel introduced himself to most of Italy's major musicians. Unexpectedly, while in Venice, he met multiple people who expressed an interest in London's musical scene. Enticed to experiment with a freelance music career there, in 1710, Handel left Venice and set out for London. In London, Handel met with a manager of King's Theatre who commissioned him to write an opera. Within 2 weeks, he composed the opera Rinaldo. Increasingly, however, elaborate opera productions led to rising cost, due in part to hiring musicians and singers from Italy. It was this factor, among others, that drove Handel towards his Bible and a desire to write oratorios that praised the Savior. The emotional and financial toll of producing operas, as well as changing audience taste, contributed to Handel's growing interest in sacred oratorios, which required neither elaborate scenery nor foreign stars. These included his opera Esther, Saul, Israel in Egypt, Samson, Belshazzar, and many others. Empty theaters and religious backlash, however, greatly affected him. By 1737, his opera company was bankrupt, producing in Handel a mild stroke. And on April 8th of that year, he gave what he considered his farewell concert. Miserably discouraged, he felt forced to retire from public activities at the age of 56. But God orchestrated two events which would change his life. A wealthy friend, Charles Jennings, gave Handel a libretto based on the life of Christ, taken entirely from the words of Scripture. He also received a commission from a Dublin charity to compose a work for a benefit performance. Incidentally, the piece, though used almost universally at Christmas time, was an Easter selection. It was a theological treatise on the Messiah, which focused on the birth of Christ, his life and death, and resurrection. Jennings' libretto, accompanied by financial backing from Dublin financiers, sponsored the work. Handel set to work composing this piece on August 22nd in his little house on Brook Street in London. He grew so absorbed in the work that he rarely left his room, hardly stopping to eat. Within 6 days, part one was completed. In 9 days, he had finished part two, and in another 6 days, he had finished part three. The orchestration was completed in another 2 days. In all, 260 pages of manuscript were filled in the remarkably short time of 24 days. Music commentator Miles Hoffman estimates that there are roughly 250,000 notes in Messiah. At a little more than 3 weeks of 10 days' work, this means that Handel would have had to keep a continuous pace writing 15 notes a minute. Said one biographer, considering the immensity of the work and the short time involved in its composition, it will remain forever the greatest feat in the whole history of music composition. Later, as Handel groped for words to express what he had experienced, he quoted St. Paul, who said, "Whether I was in the body or out of the body when I wrote it, I cannot tell." In that same small London house on Brook Street, a waiter sighed with resignation. As he arranged a tray full of food he fully expected would not be eaten, which would not exactly fit the character of the food-indulging composer. Once again, he readied himself to go through the same routine, muttering under his breath about how oddly temperamental musicians can be. As he swung open the door to the composer's room, the waiter stopped in his tracks. The startled composer, tears streaming down his face, turned to him and cried out, "I did think I did see all heaven before me, and the great God himself." George Frederick Handel had just finished writing a movement which would take its place in history as the Hallelujah Chorus. A sense of humanity infuses Handel's music, a point often made by conductors who compare Handel with Bach. Where Bach's oratorios exalted God, Handel was more concerned with the feelings of mortals. He said even when the subject of his work is religious, Handel is writing about the human response to the divine. The feelings of joy you get from the Hallelujah choruses are second to none. By 1750, Handel had entirely lost his sight in his left eye. And in 1752, Handel lost sight in his other eye and was rendered completely blind. As always before, Handel's passionate pursuit of music propelled him forward. He kept on performing and composing, relying on his sharp memory to compensate when necessary, and he remained actively involved in production of his own works until his dying day. At the time of Handel's death, his whole estate was assessed at £20,000, which made him a millionaire by modern standards. Handel, like all of us, needed a savior. For although he never married or was known to have a long-lasting romantic relationship, he was pursued by famed soprano Vittoria Tarquini. Intensely loyal to friends and colleagues, he was capable of appalling temper outbursts. During rehearsals at a London opera house with Francesca Cuzzoni, Handel grew so infuriated by the soprano's refusal to follow his every instruction that he grabbed her by the waist and threatened to hurl her out of an open window. He said, "I know well that you are a real she-devil, but I will have you know that I'm a Beelzebub." His close friend James Smith wrote of him, "He died as he lived, a good Christian, with a true sense of his duty to God and to man, and in perfect charity with all the world." Handel was buried in Westminster Abbey, with over 3,000 in attendance at his funeral. A statue erected there shows him holding the manuscript for the solo that opens part three of Messiah, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." The next time you hear the Hallelujah Chorus, think of 24 days in a small house in London where God met a composer face to face. What a savior, what a story, and oh, what a heritage of hymns.
If you enjoyed the broadcast and would like to access more information regarding the music ministry, please visit heritagehymns.info or pastordanielcox.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.